Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
I'm teaching on some very basic things, the will of God on Sunday mornings. Now it reads like this. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 12, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts. It says, I wouldn't have you ignorant. Everybody say ignorant. Now, ignorant is not stupid. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge. You know, if you didn't know my phone number, you'd be ignorant of my phone number, but if I gave it to you, your ignorance would be removed. So it's really not a judgmental or critical term. It's just a statement, you know, when you don't have the information. So Paul is writing, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Now, this is addressing a 9 gifts of the Spirit, certain endowments of the Spirit of God that operates through men and women in the earth today. Amen? And Paul is beginning here to teach on this to remove the ignorance that people have of the spiritual gifts that were operating in the church. He's correcting some things that were going on. Now he says, I would not have you ignorant. Verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Now, he's referring to their worship in the temple of Diana in Corinth. These demonic temples, Corinth, Thessalonica, Ephesus. Now, their headquarters was Ephesus. That's where the silversmiths were. That's where that kind of blossomed out of Ephesus. Now, Corinth was kind of the city in which it really hit and had its greatest effect. To be called a woman of Corinth would have been a very derogatory term. You would have been in a fight with somebody if they called your wife that. Amen? So, they got carried away in that stuff. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, they went into that pagan religion and started doing those sacrifices and those blood sacrifices, and it ended up into a whole lot of sexual perversion because they allowed their flesh to get carried away with all of that. And that's what it was, just a bunch of perverse sexual goofiness is what it was. So Paul knew he had converts that had come out of that, and they were subject to being carried away. Now, I've seen people get crazy, get stupid, when the Spirit of God starts moving, because they're ignorant of how the Spirit of God moves. They do stupid things and many of them get hooked up with the wrong spirit. Amen. I've seen people build ministries, mega ministries, on the wrong spirit. We were the first time I went over to New Life, Pastor Paul, he brought me over there and put me to work. I mean, every day I was doing like 4 hours of teaching. And then on the weekend, I think they had 6 services on the weekend. And the only one I wasn't supposed to do was the one that they do in the language there. I wasn't supposed to do that meeting, but all the other meetings were so good, they made me do the Tagalog meeting too. So they got me an interpreter, amen? And so, you know, we were very, very, very busy there. But just relaxing in my hotel room, they gave me a beautiful hotel room. I turned on the TV, and there was these guys on TV, these ministers, and it showed this church, and man, this was a huge church. There must have been 10, 15,000 people in there. And I'm telling you, everybody was dressed. It showed the parking lot. There was one in San Diego. There was one in Sydney, Australia. There was one in Manila. There was one down in Davao, down in Mindanao, named some other places in Singapore, that they had these huge mega churches, 10,000 members or more. And one guy sat at the head of all of that. And he pastors the church, I think, down there in Mindanao. And they're called the manifested sons of God. And so, the scripture that talks about, for as many as are led by him, they become the manifested sons of God. His doctrine is this. Now, there's been manifested sons of God down through time. So there was Moses. Wouldn't you agree? Manifested son of God. There was Joshua. You know, there was David, there was Abraham, manifested sons of God. Then he began to name different kings, then he named the apostles, then he named Jesus, then he named himself. That he was a manifested son of God. And you need to follow me. You need to follow, that's what he told you, need to follow me. You need to follow me. You know, I mean, that's what he, and I listened to it, and I kept listening to it. And so the next time Pastor Paul came to pick me up, I think it was to go out to dinner one night, I said, who is this nut? And he said, look, he says, that guy, he's worth millions and millions of dollars. And he's basically like, listen, I'm a manifested son of God, just like Jesus was, just like Moses was, just like Noah was. And I tell you, you want something from God, you're gonna have to come through me to get it. Because I'm a manifested son of God. Well, did you know thousands of people believe that, but they won't believe what I'm teaching right now? Wow. You think we ain't in the last days, honey? We're in the last days. Because that's not the only one. There's hundreds of those things all around the world. And they control millions and millions of dollars and influence thousands and thousands of people. And I thank God I'm not caught up in the bondage or something like that, but I'm able to preach the liberty that the Word of God produces so that we can live in the freedom that God says we need to live in these last days to do the will of God. Yeah. So now look at this just a moment. It says, you know, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, how many can say Jesus is Lord? Yeah. How many can say Jesus is Lord? Yeah. Say Jesus is Lord. Jesus. Say Jesus is Lord. Say it from your heart. Say, Jesus is Lord. Now, see, the Bible says you can't say that unless you say that by the Holy Ghost. Now, so with that in mind, I don't want to go off into the teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to do that in a little bit. But with that in mind, I want to go off into this miracle of what has happened to us through the new birth. Remember what we said? We're going to go back to some of the basics. You know, this is a football kind of deal. The miracle of the new birth. And the problem is we so take for granted that we are saved without really exploring the dimensions of what the Word of God says about that, so we remain many times in ignorance. A lot of people don't know really the benefit of their own salvation. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Well, what does that mean to you? Well, if I die, I go to heaven. Really? Is that all? If that were true, then all that Jesus overcame when he came to the earth was rigor mortis. But he overcame everything. He's more than a conqueror. And now, go if you will. Let's see, how can we do this, Lord? Go first to John chapter 14. Yeah, go to John chapter 14. Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you'll have a warm, fuzzy feeling on Wednesday nights when it's raining. No? No, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, we shouldn't talk about tithing, should we? I'm just kidding. Don't get mad. Now notice, I will pray the Father. Everybody say the Father. And he shall give you another comforter. You say what? Primary comforter? Word. Other comforter? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit. Amen? Now notice, I'll give you another. Everybody say another comforter. That he may abide with you. Let me find it here. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Everybody say forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Now, wait a second. God has invested himself in us forever. So we will forever be known as the offspring of God. And we should ever forever be known as those that receive the benefit of being the offspring of God. By the Word and by the Spirit and in manifestation. Amen. Not that it's some, you know, pie in the sky. I hope so, maybe. Now notice, going to be with you forever. Everybody say forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Everybody say with you, in you. Say it again, with you, in you. One more time, with you, in you. So Jesus himself is showing us there is a twofold working of the Spirit of God, or should be a twofold working of the Spirit of God in the life, in the heart of every believer. So that's the Spirit that abides, the new birth, and the Spirit that empowers, that is the receiving of the Holy Ghost in baptismal measure. Amen. I mean, just a double-fold blessing is what it is. A double-fold blessing. So, the understanding of what that is and its relevance to you by the Word of God causes faith to come so that you can live more securely in the reality of your salvation. The baptism in the Holy Ghost helps you with that because He is the one that helps bring revelation to your heart when the Word of God is taught, read, or meditated upon. Can I get a better amen? Then as that word is revealed to you and you accept and receive that, amen, the Bible says prove all things, hold fast that which is good. I teach on tithing because I've proven that. I teach on baptism in the Holy Ghost because I've proven that. I teach on healing because I've proven that, amen. I teach on redemption because I've proven the identity change that redemption can bring, amen. So when we teach on these things and they become real, our revelation to us, faith comes for us to do what? Believe it in our heart, confess it with our mouth, and believe God, use that faith to believe God for the effects of that. Amen? Amen. I mean, if you're believing God for healing and confessing the healing scriptures, you ought to just be totally expecting to be healed. Believe you receive it, you shall have it. That's what the Word says. That's what the Word says. That's what the Word, God is not a man that He could lie. God is not a man that He could lie. So you should believe that. Now, when it comes to salvation, the Bible gives us the attitude that works for the believer as the believer explores the dimension of salvation. It says, with joy we draw from the wells of salvation. So it should be a joyful task and effort on your part to dig into the Word of God and find out the reality of what this salvation is. So great a salvation that all of the world tried to look into the spirit realm, the demonic realm, the angelic realm, and the only people that it was reserved for were us. Isn't that awesome? It was us. It was us. For God so loved you. Amen. So this salvation. Now we'll talk about the Holy Ghost, but let's talk about salvation first. Real quick, we've got a few minutes left here. Go to John chapter 4. This is familiar teaching on the woman at the well. Everybody say the woman at the well. Now let's look at it. Let's see, I think, for time's sake, pick it up in verse 7. You know, I like it. In verse 4 it says, Jesus, He says, He must needs go through Samaria. That Samaria was a place that Jewish people did not travel into because they considered Samaritans half-breeds. So they wouldn't travel through there. They wouldn't have no fellowship with them, and they'd look the other way when they came down the street. I mean, they were totally prejudiced one against the other. But Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. Verse 7, there come a woman of Samaria to draw water. Everybody say water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaria. Now, automatically, she's trying to drag Jesus into a political, religious, ugly, ugly conversation. And you know, she's doing it not out of hate nor spite. That's just the way things were back then. She wondered, you're dressed like a rabbi. What are you doing? What are you doing? Ask me to draw water for you? Why, you guys, you won't even look on the other side of the street when you turn your heads when we walk by. We can't worship in your temple. We can't come to your city. We can't shop in your stores. You want nothing to do with us. And how is it that you, see, she automatically is trying to control the narrative and control the conversation based upon her own prejudice and her own hurt. That's so typical of all of us when Jesus is trying to deal with us. Amen. Now notice what happens. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest, now first of all, the gift of God. Everybody say the gift of God. So first of all, we're beginning to see a growing definition of salvation beginning with the foundation reality. It is a gift from God. You don't get it because you're born in America. You don't get it because you're born into a Christian family. You don't get it because you do or don't have money. You don't get it because of the color of your skin. You don't get it. You only get it because you choose. Amen? So it is, everybody say it is, a gift of God. And who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee. Now notice this terminology, this is a description, living water, not just water, but living water. Now let me just ask you this. Take the element of water off the earth, what do you have? You got a dried up scab of a planet. Put water on dry ground, what happens? Life comes out. See, water is the source of life. You have water, you have life. I know there was a story of a man that was exploring for oil over in the Middle East back in the 60s, I think it was. And he kept looking for oil. And all of a sudden, this one, they drilled real deep. They hit an aquifer way down. This is in Israel. Hit an aquifer way down deep in the earth. And it was some of the purest water that ever came out of the earth. And they were like, oh, man, we missed again. Come to find out that water was worth more than the oil. Yeah. That water irrigated an entire area. They're around those Golan Heights, and that area is just as lush and green as ever because that water is worth more than oil over there because they don't have any water. God used that to make his nation green when he said he would. Amen? And now notice this. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Now listen. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. So that shows us right now the water we drink. I mean, you might like good water. I like good water. Amen. I mean, I just don't like drinking out of the faucet. I like good water. But he says, now this water. You know, he says, if you drink the other water. Now, let me find it here again. Woman, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That shows us it's not living water because of what he's fixing to say. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now listen to this. This is not something you're going to. This is something in you. This is not some place you're going to. Thank God for heaven. Thank God we go there. But this is something in you that God has put in you that is a substance of that place you're going to. You say, what substance is that? The life of God. The very life of God. Now he begins to expand. Whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give. So it's got to be the water that he gives. He shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into, so he says this, springing up into everlasting life. He's referring to a spring that is perpetual. Perpetual. Springing up into everlasting or eternal life. So God is showing us another component of salvation in us is that its activity in us in springing up and providing the life of God in us carries us through eternity. Through eternity, the same dynamic of faith, of hearing, and of the working of the Spirit will work in us throughout eternity. It's just going to be a lot easier when you get a glorified body and your soul has been touched by God. But don't think he doesn't like it when you do it now. Because anyone on this earth can succumb to the impulses of iniquity and of Satan. Yeah. But it takes a man or a woman to stand up and say, I'm going to serve God. Forget all of that stuff. I'm not yielding to the world, the flesh, or the devil. I'm not yielding, you know, to the pride of life or the lust of my eyes. I'm not yielding to any of that type of stuff. I'm going to seek after God with all of my heart. I'm going to find out who I am, who He is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Ghost is, who it all is in me, how it affects me, how it operates, what it really means, what I can expect in the future. Come on, church. God has opened up this entire awesome, awesome reality of a covenant with Him through His Son Jesus, so we on the earth might partake of His very divine nature through something called salvation, which He says is just like a spring, perpetually springing up on the inside of you. See, that's what you don't want to do, is you don't want to put rocks in that well. And so a lot of times, just through life, people start putting rocks in that well. And they wonder why the stream isn't flowing no more. And I know there's a lot of people, it seems like they face, you know, the same problem time after time, day after day. You know, when can I get some relief from this one? Well, you know, here's the problem. Most people spend more time trying to get themselves out of something than they do spend the time trying to get to know the one that can get them out of it. Amen. Because if you can get yourself out of something, you better go ahead and do it. But if you need God, you better seek Him. And God knows your heart, honey. I'm telling you, if you don't have a heart to seek Him for the right reason, for the right moment, that's what I say with all this stuff, tithing and being filled with the Holy Ghost. God judges our heart on what is this all about? Is this some selfish thing we're into? Or do we really mean it? Do we really want to know Him? Do we really want to be used by Him? Do we really want that attitude in that heart or that spirit of peace and joy in the Holy Ghost and generosity in our midst and all that we do to reach the world, to reach our area, in this great effort of the last days, the end times, in living for God, discovering who we are, what we can do, how we can do it, and seeing what I believe to be the greatest days of the church and the greatest days of the move of God that the world's ever seen. And I didn't want to talk about that. So a minister friend of mine wrote me and asked me about my duck season this year. So I just wrote him back the truth. I've been duck hunting almost 50 years, and this was the most awesome year I've ever had. From the steamy early fall and the teal season to getting to go to Canada, to killing giant Canada geese up in 15 degrees in Kansas, to my duck pond being full of ducks all year, to having a new dog, a new gun, a nice four-wheeler. And then I wrote this, and all the ministry we got to do, and all the prayers that we prayed with people, and all the scriptural encouragement we gave one to another, and all the Christian fellowship we had, and being able to behold the glory of God in the grand passage, the great migration of waterfowl from Canada to Texas, getting to see that and observe the sunrises and the sunsets I got to see, the massive amounts of birds up there in Canada just blew me away. The miracle of seed time and harvest. You know why those birds fly from way up there to way down here? You know why? Because God tells them to. He puts a word in them. And by His word, those animals, all of them on the earth, perform and do what He tells them to do. And to see the conservation efforts of my life work. Actually worked. I began to support different organizations years ago, and they said that they would make the habitats right, where we would have places for these little animals to grow up and grow and to flourish on the earth. You know, God said, let them flourish in the earth. Yeah. And to see that happen in my lifetime is a glorious thing. But it reminded me of something, because I have not seen a season like this in probably 30 years. But then all of a sudden, one comes along. Just like we might not have seen a real revival, outpouring move of God in the last 20 or so years, because the charismatic move kind of just ground to an end, and we've just kind of stood in the vacuum of that. But I tell you what, there's a new season fixing to come. I believe that was a sign. I literally believe I was praying, and the Lord said, what I let you experience in your little duck season this year is a sign to you that I can bring it all back and I can do it all again. And I believe it. I saw it in the natural this year, and I believe it's a sign in the spirit that God is fixing to do it all again. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? So this woman, we'll pick this up next week. We know the next thing that happens is Jesus asked her to go get her husband. This is where we'll pick it up next week, so I'll just kind of give you a preview of things to come. And when she, I guess it was a point in which she realized she was dealing with somebody a little different here. She said, well, you've well spoken. I've had five husbands, and the man I'm living with now is not my husband. And you know, that was Jesus' answer, word of knowledge. She said, I perceive you're a prophet. Now, Jesus did not do that to victimize her. He did that to locate her and to let her know, I know who you are. Did you know God does the same thing with us? He comes to us to locate us and to tell us, I know where you are. Because, what, you know, you could fool me. I might can fool Leah. She might could fool me. You know, I fooled my parents for a while when I was a kid. Come on. You can put on the show. You can talk the talk, walk the walk. But at the end of the day, when God comes to you, when it's face to face with God, that you're kind of naked. Yeah. Amen? He knows everything going on in your mind, everything going on in your life, everything going on around you, everything going on for you, everything going on against you. He knows it all. And I found out, you want to be honest with yourself, get honest with God. I talk to God all the time. I talk to Him just like I talk to you. I tell Him the problems I have. Man, Lord, I have a problem with this. I have a problem with that. And I have a problem with this. And I have a problem. I tell Him that all the time. You say, why? Because I need help with my problems. Yeah. You may not need help with your problems. I do. So He didn't expose the problem that she had had. Now, can you imagine? Here's a woman that had been married five times and had suffered five rejections, because back then women did not leave men. Men threw away women. Yeah. And they always threw them down. You say, what do you mean? Well, if she married to a rich man, they're thrown down to somebody not as rich. Thrown down to somebody. So she's now at the bottom of the barrel, and now the person that she's living with is not even her husband. She's living in adultery. Amen? But notice, she didn't receive judgment. What she's getting is salvation. What Jesus is offering is the gift of God. I mean, it's amazing. Well, I want to preach the end of it, but I can't do it. Because it's such a good ending. Because everything, listen, He said, go call your husband. He didn't even usurp authority. He didn't even deal with her. He said, go get your husband. That's how God is. He's so kind. He's so tender. He doesn't go around to try to, no, He's not like that. And in the midst of all that pain and all that hurt, she was targeted by Jesus. I must needs go to Samaria to experience a revelation of salvation that would be penned by John the Revelator that would last throughout eternity and be known as the Word of God. And what was she doing? What was He doing? What was Jesus doing? He was revealing unto us for eternity. This is what salvation is. It is a wellspring on the inside of you of the water of God, the living water. If living water touches your body, you are healed. If living water touches your finances, you are blessed. If living water touches your mind, you're at peace. If living water touches your marriage, it heals your marriage. If living water touches your business, it blesses is your business. Whatever living water flows into lives. And right now, life on this earth is a rare commodity. And people need salvation. They need to be saved. And they're only going to get saved when people start living in their salvation, in the reality of having something that they know what it is, to the point that it's so affecting their lives that people say, what do you have? It has to draw people. There's a magnetic pull to what God puts on the inside. It will pull people to you to get what you have. That's how you got it. That's how you got it. Isn't that cool? So, the Spirit of God, we must become aware and not ignorant. There is that abides, There is that that empowers, that dwells on the inside. Now, let me say this and we'll close. The baptism of the Holy Ghost empowers you for service, opens your eyes to the reality of the Word of God, gives you help in everything from intercession and prayer to worship and praise, direction in life. Amen? But salvation is more personal for you. It is your wellspring. It is your source. Everybody say source. Whereas the baptism in the Holy Ghost is what equips you to take what God has put in you and present it to the world. That's where we get Romans 14, 17. Righteousness. The kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's presentation of you. I was amazed. We talked about Kansas being kind of a rough trip. It was a rough trip. And I was talking to somebody the other day about it. I said, what was amazing was that every situation we faced, we found grace. It was just mind-blowing. One thing after the next, the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace. And we knew it. You could see it. And people that were with us that may not be near as enlightened as we were, they saw it too. The grace of God, the grace of God. Everything fell into place. Any problem, boom, boom, boom. Answer, answer, answer. Wow. Well, God doesn't just want that for a trip. God wants that for our lives. He wants us living how? Perpetually in that. I've never believed in the trip of a lifetime. I've never believed in the trip of a lifetime. You say, what do you mean? So I said, you need to go deer hunting and go on a trip of a lifetime. No, I'd rather go all my lifetime. Did you get that? No, not just, I get one, I went 40 years ago, I think I remember that, you know. Whether it's the move of God, whether it's revival, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, or whatever we do, I don't want the last trip to be the trip of the lifetime. I want the next trip, the next missions trip, the next conference, the next whatever we do, I want that one to be better than that one. How can you even expect that? Because there's something in me perpetually springing up. It's living water, and what it's doing is watering the seeds the devourer didn't get. Yeah. Isn't that good? Lift your hands. Father, we worship you. Oh, we thank you for your goodness. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. Your presence, your anointing in here this evening is so rich. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for revealing and providing for us your gift. Oh, my goodness. Where would we be without that gift? Who would we be without that gift? What would we be without that gift? Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for healing, preservation, soundness, safety, and deliverance. The sotos of God. We thank you. Lord, when the children of Israel began to get ready to go in and possess the promised land, for the first time in 40 years, they celebrated the Passover. They celebrated their coming out. Father, you said you delivered us from the power of darkness. You've translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son. And we do celebrate what you've brought us out of. But Father, we're celebrating and pressing into that which you're bringing us into. In every person's life, every day, a greater presence, a greater reality, a greater blessing. Lord, as we leave tonight, we walk in faith and love toward you. We love you so much. Thank you for your protection and safety as we travel on the highways, airways, seaways, railways, any other way of travel or transportation. In the righteous labor of our hands, in whatever arena that we find ourselves working. We thank you for your protection, your blessing, your increase, and your goodness. Thank you for our hearts being stirred. We are available, Lord, as laborers. Let us ever be sensitive to those you send across our path every day, every week, every month. Let us be an answer to their prayer, a problem to the devil, a miracle in their lives. Fathers, we leave tonight. We love you so much. We thank you for what you give to us so freely and so graciously. Thank you for our church, the love you've put in our heart, one for another, those we do life with in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord God. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church, we're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, and anointed by the Holy Ghost. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah, Jesus.